Okay, advertising design. And you say just a graphic.
I call graphic communication because it sounds more academically oriented.
Uh-huh.
And I added, finally, in the next year I added a course, and the next year I added a course. So I was teaching all of them. And Harry was in the first classes that I had, where we really were starting an advertising design program, but hadn't it okayed by the powers that be. But he became the art director. At that time, in the 50s, there was nothing here for people in designing. And so
there were no classes.
Go to New York, Harry. Go to New York.
You mean for work you're talking about?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And so he went to New York, piled in his little Volkswagen, and by jingo, the first place he went was to Reinhardt. Wait a minute. What's the one in Jersey? I think it's
the
same name.
You're asking the wrong
person. Yes, he has. Anyway, he got a job designing textbooks at this place, publishing company. And then he ended up working for Harcourt, Brace, and Janowitz.
Oh, right.
I know they call it Janowitz here,
yeah,
but in
do.
New York you call it Janowitz.
Oh, is that right?
And he retired. He's been retired for 5 years, and he just turned 60. And he still is working out of, he bought a place, cash, mind you, up in upstate New York, one of these old wonderful houses that they then redo.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he still works through Harcourt, Brace, and Janowitz and other connections.
Well, that's nice. He can probably work directly out of his house. He can do his work at home.
Yeah, that's what he does. That's what
he
does. And anyhow, then there was Larry Smith here. I don't know what happened to him, but he worked here.
Did you find that you had a larger crop of successful students early on?
Yeah,
and
very much.
Later in the 70s and 80s, right before you retired?
Yeah, it was one of the reasons I retired, because it got hopeless. They became so dumb after the 70s, you know, and I quit in 80.
Mm-hmm.
And
you think, did you see that throughout the entire art department, or was that specifically in the...
Well, I just knew the ones that I knew, because after they built the new building, why, you didn't have any communication with anybody. That's the most ghastly abortion of an architectural design that I ever saw.
You're already answering one of my last questions about that building.
It was grim.
Yeah, it's not a very nice building.
No, I had a beautiful building with windows floor to ceiling, looking out over the valley, you know.
Yeah.
And it was mine, and I had my office right off of it. And lots of times it was a mess, because we did some kind of wild and hysterical things, like making dresses out of paper. I had a dress dummy, and they all made, you know, paper mache dummy. And so they had to be long, because here was a stick that held them up the right size. And it was a time everybody was wearing wigs, and they had those wig stands.
Yeah.
And they used those as the heads for these dummies. I wish I knew what I did with the photographs of those things. They're absolutely fantastic. We got all of those done. I said, all right, now let's do some fashion illustrations of your own creations. Two of them work together, and they each did.
Uh-huh.
And great big pieces, you know, 6 by 14.
Oh, that must have been wonderful.
And I said, all right, we've got all this stuff. The gallery's dark. Let's hang the show. And this is the way I worked, you know. And lots of times, just come to me. I mean, we get a body of stuff together, and then we do something with it. And we hung that gallery in about an hour and a half. And there were, you know, this business of large classes to pooey. If you can't teach 35, you can't teach 2.
Mm. And did you have a large class at that time?
Oh, always. I always let in everybody. And then I gave what was known as the Bigelow Blast, the first lecture. It was called the Bigelow Blast. And the ones with faint heart dropped out before they even tried to crash.
Yeah.
I was known when I first came here as Bigelow the Bear.
And do you require an awful lot of work of your students?
Sure, and high quality.
Mm-hmm.
I graded on the 3 scale instead of 4 for an A, 3 for an A. Nothing for a D. A minus -1 for an F. You can't win for losing.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the way we graded at UCLA. And I graded them on a concept, design, and technique. I mean, their technique might have been just swift, you know. But they couldn't design their way out of a paper
bag.
Right. And they lots of times had good ideas and were as fumble thumbs doing things as I sometimes am when I try to do something that is a little bit beyond a 100 paper hanger. But anyway, we did that. And then we had one semester. The whole semester was devoted to designing games.
Huh.
And then after those were all done, I said, all right, what are we going to do these? Let's have game day in the lobby of the art building, which we did. And Paul Lindgren was the chairman at the time. And he it was something like Lego, but not really. It was a three-dimensional thing.
Building blocks of some sorts?
Well, it was in a box, and it had these blocks, and you built things up. Oh, it was fantastic.
Lincoln Logs?
Well, not like Lego. No, it was like chess. Three-dimensional chess. And one of the guys enameled his board. He had designed board, box, instruction sheet, and one other thing. Oh, yeah, and that was another crazy thing we did. I had a student, oh, I wish I could remember his name, I can see him, who made a movie, The Shortest Day Into Night.
That's great.
And a whole lot of it was, you know, stop photography, so it looked like he was going faster.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so I said, all right, let's have a show. I'll see if I can get one of the big auditoriums, because in those days, Thursdays, I think it was, maybe Tuesday and Thursday, they had lectures and marvelous things in the quad. So we got this, and we made posters that we put up all over campus. Some of them, one of them designed the popcorn bags, and somebody else the popcorn stand, and somebody else the tickets. And we had so many that dear Marjorie Warmer, who was dean of women at the time, got fussed and called the fire department.
Really?
It was in that old chemistry lecture hall. So they then ordered a bigger place, and they gave it 2 more times.
Really?
To standing room only.
Uh-huh. That's wonderful.
Oh, and the kids had lots of fun, and they made money on the popcorn. We had a party.
Well, that's great. Well, so you had success with your students. They were interested in what they were doing, and they were energetic about it.
Yeah, and I tried the same things toward, you know, just before I retired, the game thing. Uh-huh. Nobody had an idea.
Uh-huh.
And all of the other 25 or 30, I know those games are around somewhere.
Oh.
Well, one time we decided to have, by this time I was teaching history of costume, and everybody said, oh, I have something, I have a whole lot of things, including a wedding dress dating back to 1893, and a Polonaise gown that goes into the 1870s that people have given me.
Mm-hmm.
So we put on another fashion show in my room, you know. That's the kind of thing I did, and had fun doing it, and then got to be quite a struggle. You'd have to say a polysyllabic word 3 times until it got on to 1 syllable, and that was just too much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, now, getting back to the building business, you have your complaints about the new building and how ugly it is and how it's isolated and other complaints you may have about that.
I insisted it ought to be up where music and theater was.
You were one that believed it should have been up there.
Uh-huh.
Instead.
That's for one thing.
Well, didn't you?
I was on the committee for a while, and then Lindgren took it over, and nobody was on the committee, And the biggest room in that building is the printmaking. And by the time he retired, he had to teach beginning design because there weren't enough printmaking students. And all the space went to printmaking.
Really?
Yeah. You know, uh-huh. I didn't get any of the things I wanted.
He designed it for himself, huh?
Well, and then they broke up and they were called area coordinators. And I became the area coordinator because I was the senior one to begin with, and I'll be darned if I didn't keep it as long as I possibly could until it got embarrassing. I wanted a number of things, including computers. Now, this is when they began. I can't remember when they began planning.
This is a while ago.
And the men in my department said, computers will be nothing. So what happens now is the guy that was the most vociferous is still there. He dumped Joanne Tanzer out of her enameling room when she went for the, one semester on off.
Yeah.
Dumped all of her stuff out of her enameling room. Now, she is internationally famous.
Yes, I know. Uh-huh.
And I don't know what they did with the kiln.
You've done several things with her. I noticed on your resume.
Oh, yeah. Well, we made a movie one time.
Did you make a movie together?
Yeah.
Oh, I read it was being considered for production is what I read about, and I didn't read past that.
Oh, no. We did it all right, and Huffman in Natural Sciences filmed it. And we were always sorry we didn't have a recording because our repartee during the entire filming would have made it to the Academy Award.
Really? A documentary would have been appropriate, huh?
Yeah.
Well, what was the movie about? What
it was called Brushes and Things, how to use different ways of using and the numbers of sizes of brushes and what you could get out of them.
Uh-huh. Are you still in touch with Joanne Tanzer?
Oh, sure.
Are you going to go to her... They're having some sort of a shindig, or not a shindig.
Well, I can't stand up that long.
Oh, you can't stand up.
And so I got the announcement in today's mail, as a matter of fact.
Brushes and Things. I've never met her.
Oh, she's a doll. She and I came at the same time.
Her husband is on the board of the Friends of the Library.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And used to teach at La Jolla High School.
Right. And every time her mother came out when they first moved out to La Jolla and were renting, it rained.
Oh, really? Yeah, that happens sometimes.
It would be
sometimes.
Raining and she'd come. For a while, we officed together even. And I'd say, oh, your mother's here.
She brought the rain with her. Well, what about other people there in the art department that you got along with well or some that you didn't get along with so well? I understand your problem with Paul Lindgren now.
Oh.
A little difference of opinion.
That was about the time I started backing away from things, having served on the curriculum committee and the graduate committee and on a selection committee for the dean of students and whatnot. I was getting a little bushed.
Uh-huh.
And then my mom she was in her 80s and... fell and broke her neck and a few other things.
Oh,
and
no.
So I decided it was just time I could. I got 33 years credit at that golden carrot thing. But, of course, dear Everett and John Dirks and Gene Swigert and Neil Sirwacko and Martha to some extent, though
Martha Longenecker?
Longenecker, yeah. She was 4 years ahead of me at UCLA. Boy, she would have made a great fashion illustrator.
Really?
Because I got one of hers. You know how teachers keep things, and I got one of hers. I even brought it down here. Of course, now I don't know what happened to it. And Dr. Wallace, of course, and Winnie Higgins, and Sheila Purcell.
I don't know that name.
Dr. Purcell is a Hungarian lady who was hired, I guess, in 57, 56, something. No, later than that. I can't remember, because I was hired in 56.
I don't know
56.
That at all.
Well, she's, in the interest, she's Hungarian.
Uh-huh.
The Hungarian aristocracy. Real, not Zsa Zsa Gabor type. And has her doctorate cum laude from Franz Joseph University in... Oh, where's Dracula from? Transylvania.
Yes.
Because, of course, that was all the Austrian-Hungarian Empire.
Uh-huh.
One time. Oh, I can't think of... Then, of course, Stan Hodge. I had had Stan Hodge, and he went on to be art director at Convair, and then they had a... He was art director of all things, both Woodhull and here and wherever Convair was. General Dynamics. He designed the General Dynamics sign that's
up. Oh, really?
Oh, he was a great designer, and he could paint whiskers off a pussycat. And so I heard that he was hunting for a job. He taught at Long Beach at one time, and we needed somebody. And I put both of my fat feet down and said, hire Stan. That, of course, was great in one way and not in the other, because he officed with me and used my room. He was neat and tidy. I got things done by being sloppy, and then we cleaned up.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I never told him that.
Well.
I couldn't stand the other two men in the area. They hired Moni. He was black, because they thought I would hate, I was prejudiced. They hired him when I was on sabbatical.
They hired him because they thought you were prejudiced?
Uh-huh. See, my grandfather was born in Kentucky, and my grandmother Whaley's family were Carters of Virginia, and that meant only one thing, that I hated blacks. You know, of course, I was here, and they had been out of the South since the Civil War, so they had none of that.
It's that name, Mary Bell.
There's Aunt Bell, her daughter Lou Bell, her daughter Little Lou Bell, there's my great aunt Sally Bell, my mother Mary Bell, and me, all have a ding-dong in their head. But no, I had a marvelous time until the mid-70s.
And then some...
And then they brought in all the kids that... I mean, they took art because that was the simplest thing. You don't have to know anything to do art. And they weren't there to learn. They weren't there for anything but to stay out of the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
And it affected both men and women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, they never had the imagination to do anything like they did up at Berkeley or Columbia or someplace.
What about the faculty members that were being hired at that time period and earlier, just a couple years before then? Did you see like a shift in the paradigm of... and the?
If they could breathe and stand up, they were hired, and they never hired them until July or August because nobody wanted to come here. And so we got the dregs.
Oh.
Now, that shouldn't be on there.
Well,
but to my way of thinking, painting went downhill, and went started to go downhill when Everett Jackson retired.
Oh, okay.
Miss Fish came, and she didn't like the way he painted, and she was bound and determined to make life miserable for him. So he would quit, and she did, and he did.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know he didn't probably need to teach, but in any case, she was the fly in the ointment, and then all the ones that came that same year, she got into a little coterie, and they called themselves the young ones, and we were the old ones.
Oh,
they
yeah.
may have been 3 or 4 years younger.
The old school and the
you know,
new school.
Yeah, they sit like I was the same, Joanne and I were the same age as Everett Jackson, who's now 93.
But, well, you know, that's a pretty typical thing to happen in a lot of departments, though.
Oh, yeah.
You see that throughout academic departments.
Well, that was another reason why I decided to leave UCLA, because it became so political. And it became that way here, particularly after Day came.
Is it still a political thing over there in the art department?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I went back a couple of times when I first retired. And then it was so dismal. Now, Stan and I always put our work up so that we could see and other kids could see what we were doing.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And nothing on the walls, no paintings around.
Yeah, I always notice that. I wander through the old building and the new building, and they have spaces available for people to show work, and there's nothing up.
Nothing there, no. It's like those dumb fool things that jut out.
Where? What are you talking about?
On the main floor. You know, you come across the bridge and go down the first alley that you can go down, and here are these cases.
Oh, yeah.
They were supposed to be display cases.
Yeah.
But they never finished them. They ran out of money.
Oh.
Because they spent so much on the print area and so much on the tile roof. You know, that was what was so dismal. It was poured concrete, gray walls.
Yeah.
With pipes all over.
Yeah.
Which may be fine for Marilyn and Sister Corita. But it hardly was conducive to somebody who wants to teach pristine stuff such as advertising design.
Yeah. Yeah, the light quality must have been horrendous.
Oh, you had to have lights on all the time because you just had those three windows overlooking where we'd had the whole panorama.
Right. And then, of course, in the old building, when the new building finally went up, there was such horrible glare from the old building that they had to draw the curtains. Because there was too much light pouring into those huge buildings and through the huge windows of the old building.
Yeah, I suppose.
That, too, was a problem.
I never...
Well, you know, I read somewhere that after the old library was vacated and they moved into the Love Library building, that old library building was available for art faculty to use as office space and studio space and classroom space. Did you get to do that? Did you work over there in the old library building?
No, they wanted a new building, period.
I know they wanted a new one, but didn't they use that space temporarily?
Oh, I think for a while.
No.
The big reading room.
But it wasn't a big deal then, you remember?
But I never went over there enough to know. Because I cut up to the faculty lounge a different way. Oh. But it was a wonderful place to work. So different than UCLA as far as the faculty relationships were concerned. Because there were only, I guess, 9 of us. I think there were 7 there. Martha came the year before. Then Joanne and I came. And then Bob Wallace and Baxter. No. Can't remember. But there was a time when we were, I think Bob came to teach art history. And he is such a delightful character anyway.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
And, but the building, that room I had was just dreadful. The kids were all for painting it, and I couldn't get any paint. I mean, we painted my old room several times.
You painted your old office, your old studio space a couple of times?
Oh, yeah.
And in the new building, you couldn't get any paint?
No.
Why not?
Oh, different administration, you know. And also the people in maintenance, I'd say to a technical fella. Steve, go down, I need a couple of gallons of white. And so he'd trot down and get us a couple of gallons of white. And we'd paint things, you know. And it was really kind of a toll. And we'd have parties at Christmas time.
Yeah.
Betwixt and between classes because it was so open.
Yeah.
And every time I would give a criticism, my class would nearly double to listen to the criticism. Because I made kids criticize as well as my criticisms. So that they just didn't do something, turn it in, and get it graded, which
right.
The other men, two men, not Stan, but the other two men never criticized anything. Miller, who's now the senior in the department, my area, never grades anything until the grade of the final, and then he sits there and gives grades out like shuffling cards.
Really? That's really too bad.
That's not teaching my way of thinking.
Students need to have that feedback throughout, and peer feedback is really important as well. It certainly gets the students more involved and more interested in what they are doing.
Well, a gal that took some of my classes and had my class in lettering, and they were doing lettering without reference to a typeface. Now, I got them to buy, art type on those sheets so it looked neat. But they also had to know how to do a chisel, pencil, layout, and then how to, calculate this one is too far away from that one and do it again until finally it was right. And then they traced it on what they wanted to do and inked it.
Uh-huh.
But then it got to the point where nobody was a letterer anymore. And so it seemed it's stupid to have me have kids learn to letter because there was no call for it. You ordered type. You needed to know the fonts of type.
Yeah, I don't know about nowadays also. You were talking about encouraging the department to have computers in the department. I have a feeling a lot of that function has been taken over by computers now.
Of course it
is. You don't even have to order type. You transfer your file down to a typesetter and it's done automatically on the telephone.
Sure, that's how we get together the postscript for a game. I do the dummy, but then a gal does the floppy disk who takes it to the printer and they run it off. And of course, the fellow that poo-pooed it the most is the one that insisted on computers. But he didn't have the foresight to know that, all right, so they did isometric drawings, but that was not going to be the end. And after all, I was a woman, there was three men against a woman. Male chauvinists that lots of men in the department still are.
Oh, yeah. I hear that in other departments as well. That still was a major problem.
And it wasn't when I first came in, that wasn't the attitude at all. Sure, I got hugged a lot, but I didn't call it. I think it's women. And the ones that are after that, now this is important, but the guy from Washington, that these women said that he fondled them and all of that. You've looked at their faces. No man in his right mind would give them the time of day. They're so ugly.
I don't even know what case this is. What is this all about?
Oh, it's one of the senators.
Oh, yeah.
In Washington or Oregon.
Yeah, Packwood.
Yeah, Packwood.
Oh, yeah, that horrible thing. Yeah, I don't care who he fondled or didn't fondle. It's, it's just ridiculous.
One time, I was standing out talking to Sheila Purcell, I think, in that colonnade outside the office, and he came up and he clapped me in the posterior. And I whirled around and pounded him in his clavicle. I'm bigger than he was.
Wow.
I nearly dropped him.
That's great.
Never did anything like that again.
Well, sure, that's good.
Then these women could have done the same thing.
They could have. Yeah. Said, back away. Get away from me.
No,
right?
I think I had more girls than I know of who succeeded. Ensminger and Harry Reinhart were the tip top. And Robin Rule, but there's a girl again. And what? There's another Robin. Skinner. She also won a Mademoiselle thing. It's all funny how these names come back. We had more fun getting this party together, the students and I. They'd come over and there were about six of them that were the prime movers. And I had all my grade books. But I never could remember their first names. You've noticed I'm using last names.
Yeah,
Because at UCLA, you never called anybody by the first name.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was always Schmidt when I was an undergraduate. And so I had all these last names, and then they'd have to say, now, what was that person's first name? So they could get together a mailing list. Then also, I got inspired. I painted a lot more when I came down here.
Did you?
Well,
the environment. I haven't looked at your artwork.
And there are 400 downstairs.
Oh, really?
In the garage, and several more up in the studio. And I had lots of exhibitions. Then I decided I got interested in through my fashion illustration and costume design were sort of lumped together. I pulled them apart and destroyed them. Because fashion illustration went the way of lots, like hand lettering.
Yeah.
And first I wrote alphabets and design, which is what I was talking about.
Right.
And because different typefaces say different things. And then at the same time, I was compiling a costume syllabus and using my thesis, which was titled The Derivation of Linear Statement from Master Artists' Drawings. UCLA liked long titles.
That's pretty impressive sounding.
But I used that as a layout, as a thing I called fashion illustration.
Uh-huh.
Well, they bought my... Now, I didn't try to market this book.